So, today's readings can really be summed up into one word, which is judgment. Today's readings can be summed up in that one word, judgment. What I mean by this is that first reading from Ezekiel, God is telling him, if you see somebody performing actions that are leading them down a bad or wicked path, out of Christian love, you're supposed to call them out, to judge that action. Or in this gospel, if you see your brother sinning, or to recognize if someone's sinning, you have to make a judgment. And then the Lord says, call them out, and if they don't listen, call more people together in order to help that person. And so when we first hear the word judgment, it at times can rub us the wrong way, because we know it is wrong to judge somebody. But I have to say, you know, wearing my priest clothes, I wear these, not these, I wear my Roman collar, my blacks, everywhere I go. And when people see me, they instantly make a judgment about who I am. What I mean is, if they grew up in maybe the Catholic Church or just have a good idea of priests, maybe they had a good priest mentor or like good nuns or something, then they see me and they go, nice, a priest. That's a good thing. He's maybe a good guy. But if maybe they grew up in a bad situation or they had bad experiences with the Catholic Church, or if they've only received their information from the media, which at times can make the Catholic Church not look like the best thing in the world, or if they had a bad priest or maybe a nun or a religious brother hurt them, and they take all those preconceived notions and they see me walk into the store and they go, priest. No, I don't like that. Or, the Catholic Church. So they do see me, and whether they love me or hate me, they already have a preconceived notion, a preconceived judgment of who I am. But honestly, I don't really blame them, because they're just taking what's happened in their life and they're attaching it to my outer garments. And the reality is, we all judge. As much as we try not to, we all judge. This is how we live our lives. And the question is judgment always wrong? Because we kind of live in a world, a culture, where we say that every judgment is wrong. But is that actually the case? Well, when I go to a restaurant, I order a meal, my chicken parmesan comes to my table, I take a bite, and instantly, without even thinking about it, I judge the food. Oh, that was good. Or, that was bad, not so good. Or if I go watch a movie or I hear a song for the first time, I leave the movie theater and without really trying, I'm going to turn to my friend and go, well, I could have spent $11 somewhere else better than that. I made a judgment. Or if I'm watching a football game and the quarterback throws a bad toss, I make a judgment. Hey man, not the best job there. And so we recognize that we are always making judgments. So it's not wrong to judge a thing, like food, or a movie, or a song, or even someone's performance in a sport, or if you go to a dance competition, there's a judge who tells you that you could do better. So it's not wrong to judge a thing or an action, but it would be wrong to say, oh, the chicken parmesan is terrible, therefore the chef is a bad guy. Or the quarterback threw that poorly and he's played a terrible season, and so let's exile him to the end of the universe. No one likes that guy. His character is bad. No, that would be wrong. So not wrong to judge things or actions, but wrong to judge a person, to judge their heart, or the state of who they are as a person. And so, as a person, when people see my clothes, they make a judgment. I kind of like to harness this, as I mentioned before. I will use this to, God willing, evangelize. I like to have the conversation about what their judgment might be. So one that sticks out was about a year ago. I went to Walmart. And Walmart is like my prime place for evangelization. That's where I go, spread the gospel. every time something happens. And the best place to do that evangelization, for some reason, is always right in the checkout line, right next to the gum. And so I was there one day, I was getting my food checked out, and the woman behind the counter, I said, "How are you?" And she very quickly said, "I'm okay," and looked down. She did not have the most happy demeanor on. She either, I thought, oh, she must not like priests, or maybe she doesn't like the church, or maybe she's having a bad day, or maybe she just doesn't like me, I don't know. And so I thought, I'm not going to push the issue, I'm not going to try to pry into her life. So I just sat there quietly as she continued to check out the food, not making eye contact. And so eventually a woman came up behind me with her cart and her food. And I said, "How you doing, ma'am?" She goes, "I'm good." She said, "God is good. Praise Jesus. He is so good." I said, "Yes, he is." I said, "Why is God so good? Tell me why you're so happy about God's goodness." She says, "Well, 7 years ago, I had cancer. And I went to the doctors. They got rid of the cancer, but it came back. And it came back stronger 5 years ago. And the doctors gave me 5 months to live. It was stage 4 terminal cancer." She said, "But I called up my prayer warriors, and we all prayed for that cancer to go away, knowing that God created me from nothing. He can recreate me from nothing. And me and my prayer warriors prayed, and Jesus answered our prayers, and I was miraculously healed of that cancer. They gave me 5 months to live, but here I am 5 years later, still cancer-free. I am a walking miracle. Praise God, God is good." I said, "Whoa." I said, "Yeah, you are a walking miracle. Praise God indeed." And she says, "Ann, today's my birthday." I said, "Oh my gosh. Ma'am, you are so blessed indeed. You're a walking miracle, and today's your birthday. Praise God indeed." And now the woman behind the counter, listening, looks up at me under her eyelids. She says, "You really a priest?" I said, "Yes, I am." She says, "And you got to pray for me." I said, "Sure. What do you need? Anything. It's my job. I pray." She says, "Well, yesterday," she starts getting very emotional. She said, "Yesterday my grandson, he lives in the city, he was in a gang fight. And in the gang fight, there were guns. And he got shot. They brought him to the hospital. He did not make it. My grandson just died yesterday, and I'm here working. And they told me that if I don't come into work today, that I'll lose my job, and I need this money to survive. And you need to pray for my family and for my grandson and for me. I really need prayers." And now she's weeping. I said, "Yeah, of course I'll pray for you. Why don't we pray right now?" And so we said a prayer. And when we were done praying, I said, "You know, you shouldn't be here at work." She goes, "I know, but I have to be here. I've been here for 7 hours already." I said, "You shouldn't be here." And I said, "You need to go home soon. And don't be afraid to really ask God where he is in the pain that you're experiencing. And if you're mad at God, you got to tell God that. If you think he didn't protect your grandson, you got to tell him that. But God can redeem all things. So you got to bring that to him." So now she's crying more. Since she was so overcome with grief, she was checking out the food. And she just continued checking out my food and then the woman's food behind me. She just kept going. And so, in a very precious way, among these tears, she grabbed this bag. She looked up at me and she said, "Are these your Tostitos?" I said, "No, those aren't my Tostitos." And she said, I'm so sorry. I'm just so upset right now, and I can't really function and work." I said, no, it's fine. And she started going into the computer to try to remove the items that she had put on there. And I said, you know what? I said, she's a walking miracle, and it's her birthday, and you need a ton of prayers. It's fine. Just ring it all up. Just keep going, ring it up, and I'll take care of it. It's no big deal. And she looks at me, and she goes, oh my gosh, you are a priest. I said, yeah, no, I am a priest. And I said, and since I'm a priest, I am really going to pray for you and say Mass for your family and for your grandson. The Mass is the greatest prayer we can do. I said, can I give you my information? I'll take yours. Maybe we could keep talking. And so I took her number and she took mine, and I spoke to her the next day on the phone and a couple days later, a few times after that. Try to guide her through the pain. And when I look back on that event from a year ago, what actually to me is most sad about that moment is that for 7 hours, that woman checked out food. For 7 hours, she encountered person after person after person with a very broken heart. Her emotions right on her sleeve, you could tell something was going on. And for 7 hours, nobody asked her how she was doing, myself included. I made a judgment, something seems wrong, but I was too scared to act on my judgment because I thought, ooh, who am I to judge or guess if something's wrong or to, you know, step in somewhere. But if someone is dying, we should save them. And praise God that the Lord sent somebody into the conversation to open that woman's heart, the walking miracle. But what a sad thing it is that nobody reached out, not even a priest. And so we recognize that what the Lord is saying today is that we cannot be afraid to make judgments about things or about actions, and that recognize that every broken heart is not something that just happened. Rather, every broken heart is typically a result of sin or some sort of brokenness that affected us. And that woman's broken heart was because of that death, because of that sinful action of war and this violence that now her heart is breaking. We shouldn't be afraid to address that. If we have a family member who is in a bad place, if somebody is an alcoholic, our father, it would not be an act of justice to say, who am I to judge you, to judge your action? No, keep drinking. No, the right, most Christian thing to say would be, hey, Dad, what you're doing, this action is killing your own soul. And not only is it killing your soul, but it's killing mine because you can't love me like a dad should. And if he doesn't hear that, then it is most loving to call Mom or my other brother or my sister and say, Dad, this action is killing you and killing the family. We are all dying here. If they don't listen to that, then we must bring it to the next level. Recognizing that true Christian love and charity is desiring the good of the other. And so if we see somebody doing something that is not bringing about their good, then it is most loving to help them. If we see somebody with a broken heart, then the most loving thing to do is to give them that good through helping them. Now, if they don't want that help, if they don't want us to ease their broken heart, then the Lord says, treat them like a Gentile or a tax collector. And what does that mean? Well, who wrote this gospel? A guy named Matthew. And who was Matthew? He was a Gentile. He was a tax collector. And what did Jesus do for him? He walked up and said, follow me. You can do what I do. And so if the person doesn't want the help, we do not exile them. We do not judge their character. Rather, we are called then to deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ, become more like Christ, become more that beacon of light in the darkness, and then we no longer maybe can communicate with the words, maybe that doesn't work, but we communicate through being another Jesus to them and saying, yeah, follow me. Become more like Jesus. So that's what we pray for today in this Mass, is that we are all broken people trying to love other broken people. And the only way we will survive, the only way we can bring truth out of complete Christian love and charity to the places of darkness is by receiving the incarnate God of the universe, taking his brokenness that was then redeemed and made beautiful, the most tangible love of the universe into our very bodies, allow his light to transform our darkness and then let that exude from our very bodies. And then we are called not to be afraid. We are not called to be lukewarm. We are not called to sail our own little ship. We are called to get out there and be those people that help heal the broken hearts in our families, in our communities, in our work, every place we go. And so we will not sit back idle. No, we will put things into gear and we will let the light of Christ set this community, our families on fire, and we will blaze for his love. And when we are blazing, all imperfections, all brokenness is simply burned away by his love.